Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, April 20th, 2017. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
Hey, I'm here.
Wait. You're here. I didn't expect you to be here. I thought I was doing this by myself today.
Yeah, so did I. I thought so too.
Well, what happened?
Well, you know, about 9 o'clock this morning, I got an email from the press reps over at Groundhog Day, and they said, "No sushi for you."
I would have gone groundhog, but sushi, I guess, works. Yeah, yesterday, the the production of Groundhog Day announced that star Andy Carl, who obviously has been dealing with a partially torn ACL, said that he would be taking a few days off this week on the instructions of his doctor. So I guess for you, they said, hey, we want you to come when our star's here so you can talk about it with our star, not with the understudy, who is apparently also wonderful. But it's still Andy Carl's show. So Andy Carl missed Wednesday night. He's going to miss Thursday night, and he's also going to miss the Saturday matinee. He will be in on Friday and Saturday evenings. They didn't really say, I don't think, James, if this was going to continue after this week. And I don't really like, you know, we speculate a lot on this show, but I'm not super, you know, comfortable speculating on somebody's health now that we know what his issue is. So I'll leave that to them. But I, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there is some sort of added rest days added in moving forward for him. And they'll probably schedule those around when they can get Tony voters in to see the man in the role, because he apparently is fantastic based on the reviews we read the other day.
Yeah, I think that it'll be week by week and see what the doctors say, and let's follow their good advice.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what, if anything, the producers do for refunds, especially with him getting such great reviews, if they're going to be honoring refunds or not, and how that impacts things like weekly grosses or not, because that's a, you know, if he hadn't gotten such great reviews, maybe it wouldn't have been an issue. But since every review said he was spectacular, I would imagine that there are some people who purchased tickets to see Andy Carl and now aren't going to get to. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that.
All right. Anything else you want to mention before we get into the first story of the day?
All right. One more thing before we get into today's news. Tonight over at the Schubert Theater, some under publicized show called Hello Dolly is going to make its official Broadway return, directed by Jerry Zaks and starring Bette Midler, David Hyde Pierce, Gavin Creel, Kate Baldwin, Taylor Trench, Beanie Feldstein, Melanie Moore, Jennifer Samard, and many, many more. I have a feeling that these reviews are going to be very good, James. So when we do talk about this one on tomorrow's show, I would expect that a certain leading lady will get some raves in her. Is this her first? Is this Bette Midler's first Broadway musical in, I mean, since Fiddler? I think it is.
She didn't have a concert or anything like that?
She had concerts, but those aren't musicals. Those are all, you know, reviews and concerts and stuff. But she produced Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, apparently. But this is her first Broadway musical performance. Wow. Since 1967 in the original production of Fiddler on the Roof. She was a replacement. But wow. It's a long time before we got her back on Broadway in a musical.
So first up, how did Little Foxes do in their opening as the press has weighed in tonight?
Well, much like I wouldn't put either of the stars of Little Foxes, Laura Linney or Cynthia Nixon, in the Bette Midler stratosphere of stars. But nonetheless, they're pretty big stars, and they got reviews that I think are probably going to be approaching what Bette gets tomorrow. But as you mentioned, The Little Foxes opened last night at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. This is a Manhattan Theater Club production. Daniel Sullivan directed the play written by Lillian Hellman. In addition to Laura Linney and Cynthia Nixon, who are rotating the roles of Regina and Bertie, it also stars Michael McKean, Darren Goldstein, and Richard Thomas, and more. And for the most part, James, the reviews were all really, really good. David Cody of Time Out New York gave the show 4 out of 5 stars, writing, quote, Daniel Sullivan directs Hellman's Alabama Tale with a crisp vigor that smooths over its melodramatic bumps. The prime mover is Regina, who plots with brothers Ben and Oscar, malevolently perfect Michael McKean and Darren Goldstein, to close a deal on a cotton mill in order to make them all filthy rich. The cast is uniformly strong, and outstanding work comes from the leading ladies. Lenny is fire and ice, regal yet ready to spit venom. And Nixon, in the configuration I saw, remember, because they rotate casts, is delicately touching as the meek, damaged birdie. The Little Foxes may not command as high a respect in the pantheon of American drama as more poetic work by Tennessee Williams or Eugene O'Neill, but it's cunningly built and packs a punch. It's August Osage County of the interwar years. August Osage County is my favorite place, so I like that. Jeremy Gerard of Deadline wrote, The Manhattan Theater Club production, staged with a rock-solid hand by Daniel Solomon at the Friedman Theater, is flawless, which is to say tastefully mean-spirited without any need to overemphasize what is eminently self-evident. Visually, it's sumptuous, with a realistic set by Scott Pask, lovely costumes by Jane Greenwood, and clear, unobtrusive lighting by Justin Townsend. Flawless is a good review, James. My favorite review of all, though, came from Linda Weiner of Newsday, who wrote, quote, The next time anyone challenges the need to have nonprofit Broadway houses alongside the commercial theaters, I'm going to shout out the Little Foxes. It's possible to imagine a profit-motivated producer deciding to stage Lillian Hellman's 1939 drama about a greedy Southern family these days if a megastar, recall Elizabeth Taylor in 1981, wanted to claw her way through the carnivorous role of Regina Giddens, the Cruella of small-town 1900 society. But the nonprofit Manhattan Theater Club has not merely dared to cast Laura Linney and Cynthia Nixon, sublimely intelligent actors but hardly summer tourist bait, to play grasping, glamorous Regina and her mousy, quietly alcoholic sister-in-law, Bertie Hubbard, in the company's Broadway venue. To complicate matters deliciously, the two are alternating roles equally through the run. Thus, audiences with enough interest and disposable income can enjoy and learn much by watching how these very different talents approach such wildly contrasting characters. She goes on to say, I'll tell you my favorite combination in a minute. But before she does that, she says, more interesting than a competition, however, is the crackling seriousness with which director Daniel Sullivan approaches this strongly cast revival of what is generally dismissed these days as a melodramatic old potboiler. Weiner later wrote that her favorite combination was, in fact, with Lenny as Regina and Nixon as Bertie, and not for nothing, Matt Wendman of AM New York agrees. So, James, overall, this sounds like this is going to be a contender for best revival of a play in the Tony Awards coming up, because for all intents and purposes, while it might not be the most substantive of plays that we see on Broadway this year, all of the critics seem to have enjoyed it tremendously.
So next up, the Drama League announces its 2017 nominations.
Yeah, yesterday morning, the Drama League announced the nominees for the organization's 83rd annual awards. Tony winners Bettina Miller and B.B. Newworth did the announcing honors. And James, the categories for the Drama League awards are fairly narrow, but the number of nominees is huge. In the 4 production categories, there were anywhere from 7 to 11 nominees. And in the Distinguished Performance Award category, which covers all actors regardless of show classification, there were 48 nominees. We're not going to run through all of those 48 nominees, but we will have the complete list in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. Now, you will notice that there are some performers who you thought, how can they not be nominated for this? Performers can only win this award once in their lives. So Glenn Close, Christine Ebersole, Harvey Fierstein, Nathan Lane, Patti LuPone, Mary Louise Parker, and Liev Schreiber, and my computer always autocorrects Liev to live, but Liev Schreiber are all ineligible, as was Bette Midler, who is being honored this year with the Distinguished Achievement in Musical Theater Award. So for her to win one for Distinguished Performance, she's going to have to wait another 50 years before her next Broadway musical. I'm going to run through these nominees really quickly, James. I'm going to take a deep breath and do that. In the Outstanding Production of a Broadway or Off-Broadway Play category, we have A Doll's House Part 2, Caught, Everybody, If I Forget, Indecent, A Life, Oslo, The Play That Goes Wrong, Sweat, Tell Hector I Miss Him, and The Wolves. I told you I was going to screw that up. In the Outstanding Revival of a Broadway or Off-Broadway Play category, we've got A Doll's House and the Father, which ran in rep at Theater for a New Audience, The Beauty Queen of Lanon, Jitney, The Little Foxes, Master Harold and the Boys, Othello, Present Laughter, The Price, 6 Degrees of Separation, and Troilus and Cressida, that was part of last year's Shakespeare in the Park. In the Outstanding Production of a Broadway or Off-Broadway Musical, the nominees are Amelie, Anastasia, Bandstand, Come From Away, Dear Evan Hansen, Groundhog Day, Hadestown, Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, Ride the Cyclone, and War Paint. And finally, in the final show categories, the Outstanding Revival of a Broadway or Off-Broadway Musical, the nominees are Cats, No, Really, Cats, Falsettos, Hello, Dolly, Miss Saigon, Sunset Boulevard, Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street, and Sweet Charity. Remember that Sunday in the Park with Gyllenhaal has made itself ineligible for awards. In the performance category, basically think of anyone who you thought gave a strong performance, and they've got a pretty good chance of having been nominated, especially if they've done movies and television before, because those people always get nominated in this category. However, some of the more obvious snubs were John Briones, Stephanie J. Block, Philippa Sue, Amber Gray, Patrick Page, and the entire production of A Band's Visit. None of those people or that production got a nomination despite fantastic reviews. Like I said before, we'll have all the nominees in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. James, these awards are always slightly kooky because I think the voting public for this is pretty wide open, and they tend to get a little giddy about nominating big name actors or productions, but they've been doing it for over 80 years, so obviously they've got something going right.
All right, so it's not like Broadway World's award season doesn't get out of hand as well.
we leave it open for everybody. We nominate everybody and we let everybody pick. So we don't pare it down. So we just let everybody vote on whomever they want. If we were going to leave it to 48, then it would be a problem. But we just leave it open for everybody. The more the merrier. More clicks possible.
That's got to be hard on the database.
Oh, you have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I've already started the awards, so we're good.
All right. So up next, Roundabout's If I Forget to be filmed for Broadway HD.
Yeah, yesterday it was announced that on Wednesday, April 26th, Roundabout's production of Stephen Levinson's new play, If I Forget, will be captured on video by Broadway HD to be released on demand to Broadway HD subscribers in the fall of this year. The show, which features Kate Walsh, Jeremy Shamos, and more, is scheduled to end its off-Broadway run later that week on the 30th. James, it's interesting to me that I think this is the third Roundabout production that Broadway HD is capturing, but it's the first to not be live streamed. I guess since it's a lesser known straight play and not a musical with some fairly big stars, perhaps they didn't think it was worth the expense. That's really the only variable that I can think of, don't you?
Kate Walsh. Yeah,
she's a big star, but I mean, it's not a musical. I don't know that people would tune in to see the live stream. Yeah.
But let's give props to Broadway HD for keeping it going.
Absolutely.
I never thought in a million years that they would be able to keep this level of investment into these shows going, and I'm very excited about that.
Positively.
Happy to be wrong. All right. Show and casting news.
All right. On Wednesday, the New York's Public Theater and London's National Theater announced that a special one-night-only public reading of All the President's Men, ending in a question mark like Ron Burgundy, scenes from the Senate confirmation hearings of President Trump's cabinet will take place on Thursday, May 11th at 8 p.m. at Town Hall. All the President's Men? The production will be edited and directed by Nicholas Kent and will follow the National Theater's public stage reading at the West End's Vaudeville Theater this coming Monday. The Town Hall cast will be announced at a later date, and tickets will be $25 and actually are already available. No, available. That's a period. Sorry. Ron Burgundy moment there. Next up, yesterday, Goodspeed Musicals announced the cast for the upcoming new musical Deathless by Zach Zadok, the show, which is scheduled to run from June 2nd through July 2nd, will star Jennifer Damiano, Sean Alan Krill, Johnny Shea, Kelly Barrett, and Jessica Phillips. The press notes say, quote, "The Serling family is taking his annual road trip to Niagara Falls, but this time they're saying goodbye to mom. Along the way, memories of past trips, old wounds, and family secrets are navigated in a not-too-distant future where no one dies of disease." Interesting. Great cast, interesting premise. This will have to be one that we keep an eye out for, James. And finally, not finally, but because this last story is a little weird, but on Tuesday night's episode of Bravo's Watch What Happens Live, Tony winner Kristen Chenoweth was asked about the rumors that she might star in a musical adaptation of the film comedy Soap Dish, and she confirmed that it just might be getting ready to happen in London. Chino is slated to take over the role played by Sally Field in the film. James, we originally talked about this back in early December, but with Kristen confirming the possibility on national television, it definitely seems a little bit more concrete now. Now, finally, this is not really show news. That's why I was kind of separating this, but reports are flying, perhaps on magic carpets, that the Fresh Prince himself, Will Smith, is in early discussions to play the genie in Disney's live-action adaptation of Aladdin, directed by Guy Ritchie. The film, which, like the recently released Beauty and the Beast, will maintain the musical element from the animated film, is scheduled to begin filming this July and to wrap up in early 2018. James, Will Smith is not exactly had a lot of success in the big screen department over the past 10 to 15 years. He was box office gold for a long time, but I mean, I don't even think that a bad streak like that could ruin something like this. Like, I think this is going to make $1 billion no matter what, but Will Smith is still an interesting choice, don't you think?
Absolutely. Wild, Wild West, you know?
that was an awful movie. Wild Wild West
was such a great soundtrack.
Awful movie. Although Kenneth Branagh as a bad guy with like no legs, and he was like in a robotic spider. Kevin Klein, I think, was in it as well, right? Am I getting that wrong? I don't remember. I blocked that out of my memory.
Well, I am legend. So. Oh, that was a bad movie.
That was a bad one too. That was a really bad one.
Yeah. So let's think of the good ones. Men in Black. We really enjoyed him in Men in Black.
Men in Black. And, yep, that was a good one.
And Fresh Prince.
Parents
Fresh
just couldn't understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. What do we have in the recommendation section?
All right. I don't want to spoil her answers on this, but in a recent Facebook video, the one and only Julie Andrews answered the question of what her favorite musicals were. She said she would limit it to six. She said that if you really had the time, she could talk about her favorite musicals for hours, but she limited it to six. I'm not going to tell you what her answers were, but there was a lot more Sondheim and a lot fewer shows that she starred in than I expected. That's all I'll say. And one more other recommendation, James. Apparently, everyone knows who's been to a Broadway show recently that the entire Broadway community, in fact, theaters and tours around the country, are in the middle of fundraising for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. And during the curtain speech at Hamilton, I guess that was on Monday night, Brian D'Arcy James was doing the curtain speech and was talking about how the previous King George III in the show, Taron Killam, had started a bit of a rivalry with some new person to Broadway, Glenn Close, and the cast of Sunset Boulevard. They developed a little rivalry. Glenn Close was auctioning off her eyelashes that she wore as Norma Desmond and making a bunch of money. But Hamilton wasn't, you know, they're competitive. They're not going to lose to those folks over at Sunset Boulevard. So that they made this kind of poster mocking Sunset Boulevard. And then all of a sudden, on stage, walks Glenn Close with some very big, burly security people and the rest of the cast of Sunset Boulevard to kind of throw the smack down. They ended up auctioning off this poster signed by the cast of Hamilton and Sunset Boulevard. But the video I saw, James, kind of cuts off in the middle of them auctioning it off. So I emailed our friend Shane Marshall Brown, who is the publicist for Hamilton, and he confirmed that they did in fact make $8,000 on that poster, which is pretty awesome. But he also told me something I didn't realize, and you can't really tell from the video, mainly because they're actors, so you never really know if it's real or not. But the Hamilton cast had no idea that Glenn Close, the entire cast of Sunset Boulevard, and Taryn Killam, who'd only recently left the show the week before, were going to come on stage for this whole big kind of reveal and rivalry moment. So it's a really, really fun thing. I've got the video in the show notes. Like I said, it cuts off in the middle of the auction, but the fun stuff happens before that. So take a look at that. And I love that stuff, James. I remember I went and saw Hugh Jackman's It wasn't really a one-man show, but his one-man show, Hugh Jackman on Broadway or whatever it was, and just people – I sat in, like, I think it was literally the last row of the music box, but just people just throwing money for these types of things at the stage, pretty much thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars for his sweaty T-shirts and stuff. But, you know, if you've got the money to do that, I can't think of a better charity or a better way to spend your money and donate it to people in need than through Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, why don't you get us out of here?
Oh, gladly. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. It is Thursday, almost the end of the week, so you can make it. Keep going. And this Sunday on This Week on Broadway, we have a really, really big special guest. I can't tell you who, but it's
normally I hate when people do that, James. Normally I hate when people do that, but there is no possible way that you could oversell this. So I just got to tell you, if you're listening, as soon as you see that This Week on Broadway episode pop up in your feed, listen to it. Trust me.
Yes, Sunday's huge. So we will talk to you tomorrow and finish out the week. So until then, thanks so much for listening.